All right, this is February 1st, 2017, and it's the Courtroom Observer conference call. And I want to see if I can try to play it. I don't know how good it's going to sound. You're going to have to tell me. But I'll put my phone on speaker and put his voicemail message on here. Hold on a second. Let's see if I can get it high up. Yeah.
Yes, hi, Laura. This is Walt from Rochester, New York. Today is Thursday, 26th of January, all school, 1:15 in the afternoon, 8. Laura, hi, Laura. Thank you so much, ma'am, for helping me put my information there on the internet. I got a total of, I think, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 responded. I think 4 of them before had to go to court on the 24th. And we're cut okay. I have a timer dismissal. I'll start it later. And amazing story. I know you're very busy, but you know, I said thank you so much. And I contacted all those people back and explained to them what I know for and how we think we need to proceed, not only just using lawyer talk and fighting back with the governments, but it's very interesting. And I thought limiting work as another way to do it.
Anyway, did you hear that? Hello? Could you guys hear that? Terry?
Yeah, I heard it, but it was kind of low. I couldn't really make out what he was saying.
Okay, well, somehow he said, okay, so I'm just going to give you, what he was saying was that he got 7 calls from people that wanted to help him. And I couldn't tell how many people actually went. And then he said it was a good thing, and he got a time release. I don't even know what that means. But he was really happy about it and thanked us for what we're doing. And so do you know what a time release thing is? What does that mean?
No, not really. I don't understand the context. And what did he mean by help him? Help him do what?
He had to go to court.
Okay.
It was courtroom observers. And so anyway, you know, because he is not on the internet or anything. He doesn't do email. He doesn't have a computer. And so I just write it up and send it out. And he was really happy because he got a lot of response from the notice that I sent out. So he just feels supported, and also he thinks that it definitely helps him when he has to go. And even though they aren't charging him with anything, I mean, it's just this dog and pony show, and it's retaliation because he knows how to argue with them, and he got his son-in-law case dismissed, and ever since then they've just been after him.
Really?
Yeah.
And what was his son-in-law's case about? Was it?
I don't even know what that was. He didn't tell me that part.
Okay.
But you know, he just knows how to talk to them. Although sometimes I have to talk people down because they want to go in there with guns blasting, and I'm like, please, I don't want you to get arrested. So they're gonna. It doesn't matter if you're right. If you do stuff like that, they're just gonna try to push you away or do whatever. Because they're still. I mean, their main thing is extracting money out of you. You know, and the more they get on you, the more money they get out of you. I mean, they get out of you, but they also get, they get money for, you know, if they convict you for a felony and put you in jail. I don't know how the money system works exactly, but I did hear that bench means bank, and they take all our tickets and, you know, stuff, and they create a bond with them. It's kind of just like the bank does.
Yeah, I heard that too, and I got some books, and I, a bunch of books by, I bought all of Brent Winter's books, and I got David, what's his name, Robinson's books, and I haven't been reading them as much as I should, because they've been distracted, but yeah, they talk, a lot about these bonds that are being, created out of these
Yeah.
judgments. And it would not
Yeah.
surprise me at all
No.
because, I'm in the real estate business, and that's kind of exactly what they do with the mortgages is, they
Right.
get these funny money mortgages, which are created out of thin air.
Right.
And then they put them to and then they what do they call them? They put them together, okay, as like as a bond. They all these mortgages, okay, and then they create different piles of these mortgages, and they become collateralized debt obligations, because they're not. And it's interesting they call them debt obligation because they're not assets really, because they're really because you know there's the only thing that's back. Well, actually, I mean, in a sense that they're worth more than dollars because at least they're being backed by something of value, real estate, But the
Right.
money that created them was created out of thin air.
Right.
And I'm glad to see that John and the NLA are interested in going in that direction because it's all a scam,
I know.
all this money is
Right.
created out of thin air.
I'm
I'm
reminded.
glad.
Hi
Sorry.
there, it's Peter.
Hi, Peter.
I'm reminded about 2 years ago, Drake Bailey had up on national, on the American National Militia site about how the accounting offices of towns have like a set of books. Their accountants are picked very specifically, and that there is like a two sets of books. And that towns create such a big bond that towns are not broke, and
No.
that there's money, there's so much money sitting there, and
It's
it's
the capper.
and it's a different set of books. And Drake explained it excellently. If we get, if we ever need to go search that information, I know it's on the back of his site someplace, or he do
Yeah,
that.
there's a somebody sent me from National Alliance an article about it today, and I have a friend that really worked on that. And when I was in Seattle, right before I moved here into Virginia, our state auditor, he was going to teach a CAFR class, and he was getting mad at all these officials for because they're supposed to report it every year, and they have a deadline of when they're supposed to do it, and they weren't doing it. So he decided he was going to have a CAFR class. And one of our activist friends, she actually is a politician, and she was on a water board, and she decided that she would take class. So all of a sudden, a few days before the class, it gets canceled, but they're going to do another class, and they arrest the auditor, and they trump up all these charges on him. And she goes to the class, and she talks to the teacher, and I don't know what kind of, fluff thing that they were teaching, but she went up to the teacher and said, "Well, I signed up for the CAFR class that so-and-so was going to teach." And she goes, "Oh, yeah, we know all about the CAFR, but we're not willing to give up our lifestyle for it, for going after it," or something like that.
Barely
Which she
she's
said.
anxious,
Huh?
right? Barely she
And
was
that's what
honest.
she said to her, and then the thing is, though, that the poor auditor, who's trying to be, upfront and transparent, man, they railroaded him like crazy. But I did hear, I think that they let him off somehow. I think he had a good lawyer, and he got out of it, but they just railroaded him for that.
Again, I guess because they're putting money, all this money has to be held in banks, and then banks are pulling the strings even on the town corporations. And everybody's life is at risk if you say anything. You know, and that's
well, here's the thing.
Well,
what we learned is that the we had a conference call a few years ago with a sheriff from Texas, a former sheriff from Texas, who told us she went after the CAFR for the small town that she was the sheriff of. It was like 5,000 population, and she said that in order to skim off the top. What was it called? It was something else where they skim off. They teach you how to skim off the top, and you had to be a member. And depending on what, how big your town or city was, you know, it may to be have a yearly membership. How big your town or city was determined on how much you paid. Like, for instance, like her little town, they probably paid $12,000 a year to be part of this club that basically cheated. You know, and in Seattle, if you wanted to be part of a club, it might be $1 million a year. And so, anyway, what she said she did, she had four council members and the mayor. And the way she got that real CAFR report, because they put it online, but they make it so obscure, you really have to dig and dig and dig and know what you're looking for. And I think they'd even stop doing that because people did figure out how to do it. So the way she got the information about what was in the CAFR is some patriot within the office got it. And she said it was just like a movie. You just meet them for coffee and they hand you this envelope. She said when she exposed this thing, there were four council members, three of them were in on it, and they went to jail. The fourth one wasn't in on it, and the mayor skipped town. But can you imagine all these big cities, what's going on there? That was just a small little town.
Amazing. Where's your other speaker that was there? I didn't mean to cut him off.
Terry?
I'm sorry, what was that?
No, Terry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't cut me off. I was just listening. That was interesting what you were saying. As a matter of fact, it got me to thinking about, you know, what happened to the guru, Walter Burian, who had started this, you know, looking into this stuff. And I noticed now that he had a... He's still active. He's got a website, and you can get his newsletters, which I just signed up for. So I'd like to see where that goes.
Interesting. Peter, you know,
yes.
You were on the call before the major call on Monday night. So... are we waiting to hear about when I didn't know this until I got on the call, but he's going to have people working on the IRS, and he wanted the people who have IRS issues to have a private call or something. I'll be on a private call. But we're just waiting for that notice, I guess.
When that gets organized, that'd be great. I know there's so much on the plate right now.
Right, but I am excited. I'm actually really excited about it.
I haven't dealt with the IRS for a bunch of years. I was planning on doing mine in all one big kabam. You know, you got people on the radio advertising, we're ex-IRS agents. We'll get you pennies on the dollar. You know, that's such a
brother.
Everybody's face. You know. Constantly, every lunchtime, I hear on the radio, the IRS problems, call this guy. We're going to get you out pennies on the dollar.
But they're going to put you back in the system when you're not in it.
Yeah,
they run those commercials every 5 minutes where I am, you know.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's exactly. As a matter of fact, when I had some tax problems, that's what they told me. They said, well, you know, what we're gonna do is we're gonna help you with your problem, because I had a lien, okay? And then we're gonna help you with your problem, but you're gonna have to do all your tax returns for the previous 10 years or whatever.
Oh, I'm like, brother!
I'm like, get the fuck out, you know? I mean, so I got all my money back too, and it was a lot of money.
You did?
Yeah. What I did, and this was like a $95,000 lien they put on my bank account. And I was, I put that. You see, I got an insurance settlement after I got hit by a truck, and I'm all, you know, I'm fine now, you know. But I broke my wrist and I had to have shoulder surgery, so I put the money in there, and it's not supposed to be taxable anyway because it was an insurance
settlement. I know it's not,
but they grabbed it anyway, you know.
They took it.
Right. But then I filed for bankruptcy, and they had to release it. And they're never going to see that money again. Because, you know, I learned my lesson. Don't put any money in a bank, then you need to pay your bills.
Right. Well, hopefully there's some changes a-coming.
That's right.
You know, the thing about it is these so-called liens that they do, they're not even liens. They're called notices of liens.
No, that's not a lien.
Yeah, that's it. That's what the bank told me. Oh, that is the lien. The notice of lien is the lien.
No.
I know.
Went
that's
after
what they
my
were
bank
me, but they don't know
that.
Shit.
I went after my bank because they did the same thing to me. But, see, I didn't leave money in the bank. So when they did, the IRS decided to just yank some. They didn't get hardly anything, but still it pissed me off. So I went after the credit union for, you know, basically showing them they had no right to do that, especially no notice or anything. Nobody gave me any notice that I had to remedy anything or anything. And besides, I have not done anything with the IRS since 1993 anyway. So they hadn't had my signature or anything. I didn't sign anything. So what I did was I said, I want you to show me what you think gives you the authority to do that to anyone. I said, I don't want a code. I want it in writing. Where's the writing that I signed some contract with you that says you can do that to me? And they could not give it to me.
Well, supposedly in the fine print on your signature card, that you authorize, you know, them to do whatever they think that they can do. I haven't seen my.
Well, they
signature
never.
Card
they could
lately.
Not give it to me. They wouldn't give it to me.
They wouldn't give you a signature card?
No, they wouldn't give me the. What they wouldn't give me the proof that showed that, you know, they had
right.
the right to do that.
Right. Well, yeah, they didn't do that in my case either. I should probably sue them, but, you know, probably wouldn't be worth the time.
Even when
right.
you
well,
I
did it as
back.
Principal. I did
and
it
ultimately,
as a principal.
They gave, I'm sorry, ultimately they gave me the money back anyway.
The IRS did.
The bank, they released it, the levy.
Oh, the bank gave it back to you.
Yeah.
Hello.
I never had
luck. Hi, Crystal.
Boy. I just had an incident with them, which I had filed my Form 56 and everything. And they told me, well, when I went to a file last year, I had filed my Form 56, which I filed with the State Department, the federal government I filed it with. And then I brought it in to the IRS here, and I said, I want to file this along with my IRS. She goes, what do you owe? I wrote 000, and I said, I want it stamped. Then I received a letter stating, well, you can't do this. And I said, I'd like to see your proof of claim why I cannot do it. And I said, it's filed, and I told him, see, such and such. As a result, they sent me another letter stating that if I do not file and comply, that I could be fined up to $5,000, some bullcrap, whatever. So I called the number of the IRS, and The woman answered. I got her name. I have it written down. I said, well, first of all, I said, I have filed my Form 56. So she goes, yeah. She goes, well, why did you file that? I said, because it's legal for me to file. And I said, and why should I have filed it? Then she turned around and she goes, why were you paying taxes at all to begin with? I said, what are you talking about? I said, because, listen to this. She goes, because you have been sending me all these forms, which I had to file every year. She goes, well, you didn't have to file at all. I said, what do you mean I didn't have to file? She goes, because you're disabled, and when you're disabled, you don't have to file. And I said, oh, you're kidding. I've been disabled for 10 years. So you mean I'm going to get a refund of 10 years? She goes, no, we only could retroact it for 3 years. I said, oh, wait a second. So if I owed you the money for 10 years or 20 years, you come back after me with all the interest and everything else. But you took my money unbeknown to me, and I got to pay. I'm only going to get 3 years. So I have to go. They told me I can go to the library.
What did she say?
RP.
What did she say?
Well, she said, she goes, I have until April 15th, and I could go back to, what, 2013? She said, 2013, I think I can go back. I said, I want to go back to 2006. She goes, well, you can't do it. I said, well, let me get the 2013, and I'm definitely going to appeal that. You know?
Yeah.
But as I said, a lot of, if your income, if you are disabled, you don't have to file at all. Under a certain amount. I think it's
like
30.
Well, you know what's interesting? Go ahead.
What's that? I'm sorry,
well,
go ahead.
What I was going to say is from this book I've been reading is that actually the reason why they were able to get away with this is because back in the Second World War, they didn't have any income tax before that. So then when the war started, they instituted the withholding tax. And it was supposed to disappear at the end of the war. But instead, what the IRS they said, well, you know, let's just send out these, you know, tax notices, you know, just to everybody who's been paying and see what happens. And surprisingly, because most of these people were pretty stupid, they've been paying for the previous 4 or 5 years, they kept on paying. And that's how it became an institution, you know.
Right, and also probably about the voluntary thing, too, that it was voluntary,
right?
But, you know,
because
not the way they act.
And one thing I found so profound dealing with the calls and stuff like that, so I told you I had filed for the bankruptcy, all righty, and the property, I said they perpetrated fraud because I said I got the bond page deed and everything in my name. Now, so what happened, two of the attorneys went and put a lien on my property. And I said, how on earth did you put a lien? What I did when I filed my bankruptcy, and this is something everybody should, I put every single attorney on my bankruptcy. So when the judge saw my case, she discharged them all. Well, now they're a little teed off. Okay, so one, I guess he thought he was home free. I'm going to put this lien on her property and this and that. So I contacted him. I said, oh, by the way, did you receive your discharge? And he goes, well, no. I said, well, I see that you have a lien on my property. I said, I will contact them, TV media. They go, oh, no, we're going to remove it. We'll take it off. So they send me the release papers and all righty. So now I said, let me, you know, because everything they do, you got to follow up. So I went there and I asked for a copy of my deed, the copy of my mortgage deed and the description of my property. Well, I noticed it was still on there. So when I went in there, she goes, well, we haven't heard from them. So I contacted the attorney again. They go, oh, we sent you the papers. I said, oh, I thought that was just my copy. They said, no, you're going to have to record it. I said, oh, I wish you had told me that. So I had to run back home, went back to the town hall to record it again. Now they're telling me I have to pay $53. I said, $53 for what? So we could release it. I said, I'm not paying you nothing. I said, under what state section act do I got to pay this? Where is this money going? Well, it's for, I said, I want to know exactly where this money is going and why am I paying. She goes, well, $30-something dollars goes to the state, and another goes to some other bull crap, and then $10 for that department, to run that department. I said, to run this department, I'm paying enough taxes. I said, what do you think, I'm a fool? I said, I used to work in this. So I said, so who's getting the money for this here? So anyways, she goes, well, you're going to have to take it up with the attorneys that put this on your property. Well, sure enough, I did. I took all of them. And they said, well, we're not going to pay the release. I said, oh, you're not? I said, well, let me contact the media about this. Well, they said, wait a second. So they sent the $53, and so my thing's released. You know?
The money is, if you send it in, it's an acceptance of their fraud, and then they can try to do more of it.
So well, I didn't send anything in.
Yeah, no, you're smart. You're so smart, Crystal.
I didn't send anything. That attorney, I said, you put the lien on it fraudulently, and you're going to take it off. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So
if you sent it in, that would have been accepting the fraud that they have said is your debt. That,
right,
that's,
exactly.
That they're leading you in to say, oh, well, then you accept what we're saying, is what, the, is
mm-hmm.
what that means. Very good. You're sharp,
yeah,
killer.
But just make sure... If you know of anybody, your family, everybody knows somebody who's disabled. And as I said, they are only going back 3 years. But again, since everything in Washington is in an uproar, we need to contact our local officials, which I'm going to do, because I want my 10 years retroactive. You know, and now they're complying, and they want to hear anything we have to say, which is great. So contact all of our legislators and all this stuff, you know. Because any state that has a lotto should never have a deficit, number one. And
right.
There was one thing, it was when I took economics and political science, and I graduated back in the 70s, but I remember my history class in 74, and I will never forget what my history teacher taught us about economics, you know, because we had to learn the government forwards and backwards, and these are the two things I will never forget. Anytime any politician makes a decision, the next question should be, does their law, is it, how is it going to affect my life? Is it going to affect their lives? Or, you know, any laws they make, it never affects their life because they're in a league all of their own, you know, because they have all the benefits and this and that. So what people should say, well, look, we want the same benefits you have. Number two, there was a project our teacher gave us, and I think the minimum wage back in the 74 was like $1.25 an hour. She goes, your age times when you by the time you're 55, what should your minimum wage be? Every year you work, minimum wage right at that time was, I guess, $1. I don't know. Think about $1.25. It's 75 to a dollar per year. So if we would sit there and go by our age, because everything goes up, not down, you know? So our minimum wage in 2017 should be almost like $49, $50 an hour. Cost of living.
Right.
And really, you think about it.
I know.
You know, but we don't think. We never ask the questions, you know? But those are the things really people should stay on top of and learn, because how are these politicians going to sit there and speak and represent anybody if they don't even know the laws and the constitutional laws themselves? You know, it's like learning the old school. I'm like, none of this stuff makes sense. So how are we going back to 1982, 83, then come back to $15 an hour? You know?
Right.
I mean, we were born at night. We wasn't born last night, you know?
Right.
I mean,
well,
just a
inflation,
little...
the fiat currency is what causes the inflation. for that to happen, and our money is just not worth hardly anything. That's why.
Well, as I said, I don't see how little Donald got 500 businesses all over the place. I mean, he's smart. I'm like, wait a minute. So what did he file to get out of all these bankruptcy, put all these false businesses in place, not have to show his income tax? Well, he must have filed the Form 56 and all the rest of the forms, too. All those people in Washington.
It's a dirty town. It's a dirty town. It's a dirty town, and needs to be cleaned up. But you can't even begin to work in that town unless you understand the dirt.
You know what?
Part of it.
It's just so disgusting. It's just the whole deal of survival. Everybody in this world should have a roof over their head, food in their mouth, clothes on their back. God gave us everything freely. So where did all these people, the have and the have nots, this is absolutely, these people got more money than they'll ever be able to spend in a lifetime. You know, but it's just like does anybody ever watch that show that comes on TV, American Greed?
No.
On NBC? You've got to start watching it. It pertains to every single
thing. You have to be careful watching those normal channels with all their programming, NBC, ABC, CBS, be careful. All these commercials, all the things in between, be careful. But yes,
what do you mean?
I know you're smarter than that. But
well, no, what he's talking about is the subliminal mind programming stuff they add.
Since I got new to my television and I don't watch any of those normal channels, I just watch Netflix. My anxiety.
Well, this is not on the regular channels.
I'll look for it on Netflix. Definitely, I'm going to look for it on Netflix for sure.
But look for the American Greed, because every week they have different segments on it. Like, for example, there was this one, and I never even realized this was even going on. It was the American Greed, and this particular topic was on the Undertakers. And they were stealing people's bones, arch joints, what have you, and they were selling it because of, the transplants and all that. And this one made over $4 million a year. Yeah, okay? Sure. Cutting people's hearts, taking their bones out their body. But he got so greedy with it, when people were dying of HIV or hepatitis or whatever deadly disease, he would sit there and change the death certificate stating that, heart attack or whatever the case is, and was selling these body parts. And some of them had rigor mortis that set in, and now people were getting sick and dying. So that was a big explosion. I'm like, did anybody ever hear about this?
No, but what I did hear was a whistleblower doctor who said the organ donor thing is the biggest fraud there is, because he said you cannot transport an organ that's functioning from a person that died. You can't do it. So you have to kill the person to get the organ out. And they have done this. This one woman that was on with the doctor, they did it to her 16-year-old son. He had an accidental gunshot to the head, but it wasn't fatal. And when he got in the ambulance, they started giving him paralyzing drugs so that he couldn't move or communicate. And then the doctor came out and said, well, there's anything we can do. And the father said, you do whatever you can. And they kept, and they were being followed around by this woman, and they didn't know who she was until they found out she was the organ, carrier or administrator or stealer, whatever you want to call her anyway. And they were trying to get them to sign these papers so that they could harvest his organs, the son's 16-year-old son's organs, because he's young,
Right.
And they have to do it literally when they're alive. They cannot do it when they're dead. So they're saying do not, even if you don't do an organ donor thing on your driver's license, they still try to do it. But it's something to be really aware of because it's a huge, nasty business.
Yeah, it seems to be worse on the planet than ever. Aleppo, they found mass graves, and they said that they were, you know, selling all body parts. And that
that's a big thing
in Aleppo in Syria that, you know, the mercenaries are all in there chopping people up and making sure that the, you know, so, you know.
And with the children, it's horrible. It is so, so horrible.
People
with
have
people.
To realize the evil that is on the planet, and that we have to look it in the eye and say we don't want it. You know, the consciousness of our planet has to say, this can't be here with us, and we have to do something collectively to you know, shield this off. And that's what, you know, that's what God is telling us, is by our conscious denying it and saying it can't be in our lives is how we push it away, with prayer, of course. And that's what we pray for on Sundays, right?
You don't pray just on Sunday. You pray every day. Because Satan's on this earth.
When we're gathered together, it's a little more powerful, obviously.
You know. Go ahead.
Have you heard, this is what I've been reading the last couple of days, is they think Assad is dead from a heart attack.
Who?
Assad, President Assad from Syria.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, they're saying this, but you never know. I mean, we still don't know really what's going on with Julian Assange.
He looked pretty good 2 weeks ago when they were in.
You saw him?
It was with Gabby...
Gabbard?
Yeah, from Hawaii.
I never saw that. You mean they got together?
Yeah, she did it. She went and interviewed. Of course, she got holy hell from it, from everybody, for siding with the enemy. She's like, 85% of the people want, and then you speak to him, and he speaks with a calm head and cares about his people, and he wants to fix the problem. So, obviously, you know, that can't have that. So
right, we can't have that because they want the problem. I mean, they're the ones that created it because it makes them a bunch of money.
War is for profit. As the generals.
Well, actually, all wars are bankers' wars. There's a guy that has a really good 20-minute little commentary, and he connects all the dots very easy. And it's called "All Wars Are Bankers' Wars." And he shows how, you know, we fund both sides. We fund all sides. I mean, that's the whole thing about ISIS and Al Qaeda. We're the ones that are funding them.
And now in this new 21st century, it seems that organs are worth more than gold, and that's why and how we're having this conversation tonight. We see that organs are worth more than gold, and now wars are fought just to collect organs. And
oh my
who,
God.
Knows who knows if they're staying on the planet? And
that's horrible.
I know.
This is what we're up. This is not normal evil we're talking about here. This is not human thinking. This is real evil.
Mm-hmm. Oh God.
Have you ever seen that movie?
We'll just say a little prayer right now to ourselves. God, keep us protected. Thank you.
Yeah.
That and everybody else.
Yes, indeedy.
So there is a movie called Dirty Pretty Things, and it's about this stuff, you know, about people that go to this one hotel and they get drugged and they're missing a kidney.
Well, that was just like that young man. He was an athlete down in, I guess I forgot the part of Florida, and he was going in the gym. They showed him going into the gym, played basketball. He had a full scholarship. The parents reported him missing. School said, well, he left the school, this and that. They looked, you know, could not find him. And I guess a week or two later, they found a mat in the back of the gym. And when they unrolled the mat, his body was in there.
I heard that.
Remember that? Now we never heard. And so what had happened, they showed it on TV and, you know, and they said, well, he must have been goofing around and it was no foul play or nothing like that.
Oh, okay. Right.
Right. Well, listen to this. So they have the funeral and everything, and I guess somebody told them to resume their body. They took everything out of this young man.
All his organs were missing.
All his organs, eyes, everything was gone.
Whoa.
Yep. So, but we never heard no more about the story.
Right, we never heard about that.
Yeah, but I mean, it was on TV and all that. That's, you know.
But they weren't saying that.
Yeah, well, no, we heard about the organs and stuff like that because even the news forecast, when they were reporting it, they looked all baffled about it. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It
like with a cow mutilation or something.
Yeah.
I remember that part, but I didn't really follow it, but I just thought it was very suspicious.
But you remember hearing the story, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because we were sitting there trying to follow up also, but... And that was the last we heard of that. No arrest, nothing was made. Story became totally silence.
Right. And see, to me, you know, the young people are really vulnerable to that.
Right, because of, right. Because they got the...
Yeah, because once I listened to that doctor and that woman that had that experience and the doctor that was whistleblowing about it, because I had a friend that died recently and she was going to be 70. And they harvested her organs. I mean, you know, I don't. She wasn't in bad shape or anything, but I just thought that was odd.
Mhm. It was just like another thing. Who was it? Cheney? All the heart transplants. That man had about 4 heart transplants.
None of them work.
Well, it's working now. Look at how well he is. You don't hear no more about his heart.
Oh.
Now.
Is
so
that
he
really
got a young heart?
Huh? You think it's really him? I mean, his nervous system doesn't even work on its own.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, how many times did his ticker almost go when he was in office? And I said, you don't hear no more about his heart problems or nothing.
Yeah, because I don't think the real one's there anymore. I think something else.
But as I said, it's just... It's a sick, crazy world. The world's a beautiful place. It's got a bunch of sick people in it.
We've got to work on fixing that. We've got to work on bringing people together, getting people to start talking. I mean, just conversations with them, having just locally with friends and people. Everybody's opinions are so different in families and everything right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not seeing that there is some kind of evil trying to keep us on edge and so stuck on our opinions about things that, you know, there's trigger words, there's images, there's things that just people just they don't even want to talk with each other. I got everybody's walking away from saying, I'm all pissed off because of what political view or this or that. And it seems like they get triggered by a name, a word, a subject. And we have to start realizing there is some programming going on here.
Yeah.
About to be very careful, you know, and it comes from both sides. It's not alienating it to one party or another or one political affiliation or any. It is, there are trigger things to get us to not be close with each other, to think we have so many differences that we can't come together on anything. You see how I just said that? We can't come together on anything. That's what they want us to be in that mindset. Oh, I give up. We can't come together on anything. And this is where we're
right.
at. And this is the sad thing, that just got to get people for a second. Hey, forget what you think about politics right now. We have to come together and just agree to disagree and stand here just together. Just stand here together without any words or remote. Just stand here and support each other, regardless. Because there's something evil coming at us, against us, that we don't understand. And we
well,
better
you know
acknowledge
what?
That it's there.
We do. It's all even in the Bible, okay? And there's 66 books in the Bible. In Psalms 37, read Psalms 37. And you know what it says in that Psalms? Very soon the wicked will perish, but the meek ones will inherit the earth. You know, we see Satan knows he's at his final days. Look at it in Matthew 24. And when the apostle said, Jesus, when will your day be present? And when will the conclusion of the system be? And Jesus said, see that no one mislead you. Well, you'll see wars, rumors of wars, nations rise against nations, food shortage, famine, worldwide disasters in one place after another. Everything in the Bible, it's all happening right now. And top it off, 2 Timothy chapter 3, last days, critical times, hard to deal with. Children be disobedient to their parents. The law will be lawlessness. No natural love and affection. You know, all these things. People be lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. So we see everything in the Bible is hyping up. You know, this is no shock and surprise what's going on. And Satan knows he's at his final days, and he wants to take as many with him when he goes. So it's just like Satan's powerful, Jesus is mighty, and Jehovah God's almighty. Jehovah God never gave no man no more power than he gave himself. You know, and Psalms 83:18.
The thing that people are missing, though, is how they're vibrating. Is that they're at such a low, they're
because people are lost.
So, and meanwhile, you can't connect with God and the higher sources when you're in such a low way. And this is what people have to start raising themselves up, even just in some type of a way that you just feel loved by God. So you
and
feel
I, you know what?
Feeling worthy. Nobody feels worthy of God's love right now. And this is...
Oh, I do. You know what? Because, number one, Psalm 55:22, place all your burdens and faith in his hand. Because no man can't resolve any of our problems. Only the higher source. He knows what we're all going through. And we got to place our faith and trust in his hands. Not no man. No man can't do nothing. No man has given me life. No man can't. Even if they take my life, the only one who can give me and resurrect my life again is the grand creator, Jehovah God, Jesus Christ. And I just, having that peace of mind. You know, because all the evil things, like we have to pray for our enemies. And it's just like in Psalms 37, or verse 11, don't do evildoers for evildoers. Because a lot of people will sit there and do evil things to us. But I don't wish nothing bad on no one. You know, because guess what? Vengeance is not mine. It's not none of ours. You know, and I always try to walk in a peaceful mind and a peaceful spirit. Because we're all the grand creator. We're all a part of his children. And I said, if you ever did a genealogy all the way back, guess what? After the first, when the flood of Noah, if we all do a genealogy, we're all related to Noah. So guess what? Like God said, how in the world can we sit there and love our own brothers and sisters and say we love him and we can't even love our own brothers and sisters who we can see here? You know? Treat people the way we want to be treated, because we're all his children, you know.
There's only one mind in the universe, only one mind in the universe, and we're all connected to it.
And that's it, you know. But see, Satan got his little evil ways, and he wants to sit there and thinking he's over here. But he knows he's at his final days. But, you know, just be kind, respectful, you know. Kill a person with kindness.
Finding tools to get people to put their ego in a jar for a day and just relax and not have any opinions about anything. It's like it's been pulling teeth. Can't even get people to
know,
get off the air anymore.
I've noticed also? Even with all this mess going on in the world today, do you know, for the first time, everybody's basically on the same page because it's just like people are like so sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it's just like what's right is right. and you're hearing more and more every single day. And I guess they must have gotten the papers, because even now all the policies, everybody's talking about the constitutional law. I said, oh, isn't this something? They're all, you know what I'm saying? They all want to get down to the truth or whatever. And half the people there don't even know what the constitutional law is. They all got this title and position. But half the people that are running things, they're clueless. You know? All these fake people with titles, but they don't know the history of the job. Like, they put that crazy, what's his name? He's a brain surgeon, but they put him over a head of economics development. He doesn't know nothing about housing or whatever the case is, you know? These are...
It's on purpose.
It's a, huh?
That confusion is on purpose. You know, it's a
pay-to-play
game. We still have remnants of everybody, the lobbyist or pay-to-play, has gotten these people to these positions. They're not there on an honest note. They owe somebody something. We're not past that yet. And hopefully, you know, again, we get our republic back and we create some type of a way of vetted people that deserve to be in the positions because they have knowledge about the subject, like you're saying. They're putting people that have no knowledge,
they're clueless,
or whatever, in positions. And,
they might as well put Mr. Magoo and Betty Boo and all these fictitious characters in.
Absolutely on purpose. You're absolutely right.
Wow, that was really starting to... My end is really getting crackly. I don't know what that's from, but listen, it's getting around 10 o'clock, and it's been kind of only six people have been on the call tonight, which is a little unusual, but I'm looking forward to working on IRS stuff, Peter, because I know you have the same thing, so this will be very interesting.
Some dates together and a few things happen that we can I definitely need to get some answers on a few things of what to do with my life.